Now, the war of words on Brexit is in full swing. Both sides firing out headline-grabbing warnings on issues like the economy and immigration. But is there a danger of the debate overheating, campaigners overdoing the claims and the counterclaims? The Labour MP, Kate Hoey, is with us this morning, the former Conservative Minister, Edwina Curry. Kate, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Edwina.
Good morning, sir.
Well, Kate, we're getting all these warnings, the latest being from the Chancellor, George Osborne, that a Brexit would spark a year-long recession, no less. I think he predicted that house prices would go down 18% as well.
I know. It is beginning, I think, to be a little bit ridiculous. And I think a lot of people out there will think, you know, they just begin not to believe anything from anybody. I think there is a very positive case to leave. And I think actually the Remainers, David Cameron, could have been presenting a much more positive case to stay, although I wouldn't necessarily agree with it. But it just seems to me that David Cameron now has forgotten almost that he's Prime Minister of the UK, and it seems like he's absolutely obsessed now and doing nothing else. I wonder who's running the country. But the problem is, of course, that just a few months ago he was perfectly happy to accept that the United Kingdom could do very well outside the EU. And he also, you know, if he was really serious, and George Osborne are so serious about all these dire warnings, why did they allow even the risk of a referendum? So it does seem as if I think everyone needs to step back. There's 4 weeks left. Let's try and get a positive discussion going rather than all the scare stories.
Edwina?
Well, what distresses me is how unpleasant the various campaigners are being against each other.
Yeah.
And how, you know, anything that is said, somebody on the other side will call them a liar. Ian Duncan Smith in the paper today is calling the Prime Minister and the Chancellor, next to whom he sat only a few weeks ago, dishonest. Now, what the problems are quite profound ones. You've got three different issues, and you're talking about the future. The three different issues are how we perform when we're in. Another issue is how we might perform if we're out. And you've also got the problem of the transition, which is what the Prime Minister's been talking about. Would the transition be easy sailing? I don't think anybody would claim that. But what would be the cost of the transition, and would we ever properly recover from it? But everyone is saying to me that, you know, we want facts, we want facts. I'm sorry, you're trying to predict the future. Exactly. You're talking about forecasts. You have to be realistic about the estimates and the guesstimates on which you base this. And you have to treat the public as intelligent.
Well, shouldn't the public be cynical then when we're hearing house prices will go down by nearly 20%, there'll be a year-long recession, Edwina? Well, they're trying to terrify us, aren't they?
No, well, I agree with Kate. I'd much rather hear some of the positive case for staying in on the basis of being part of the largest market in the world with 500 million people.
But we would still trade with that market, Edwina Curry, wouldn't we? We wouldn't be part of the club, but there's no suggestion we wouldn't trade with that market.
Well, the question is on what terms? What would be the terms of trade? Would we trade on better terms if we were outside? And your guesstimate has to be almost certainly no.
Kate?
And I agree with Edwina in the sense that I think there is no certainty about anything. I mean, we can't predict what's going to happen in a few months in all sorts of ways. I suppose my point about certainty about leaving is that at least then we as the United Kingdom have control rather than having to rely on the wishes and the economic needs of 27 other countries. So there's that kind of certainty, and then there's all the uncertainty about what's going to happen to the euro. But also, you know, you'd think that the whole world was in some kind of European Union. Let's not forget there's only 27 countries, 28 including ourselves, have this kind of trading relationship with, on top of it, a political structure. You know, all the other countries in the world manage to trade very, very well. Those democratic countries, they control their own borders. They do all these things without having to be part of a kind of never-ending closer political tie-in. And I think that's the bit where I always get back to. For me, it's all about democracy.
Well, there's also the question of what we mean by control. We used to control, when I was born, we controlled a quarter of the world's land surface, and we did it at the point of a gun. The British Empire was one with Britain on the top, and I fear that some of the Brexiters, not Kate, but many of the Conservative Brexiters, still see this as the ideal way of doing things, that we're in control. I excluded you, Kate, because I know you very well and admire you and like you very much indeed. But there are many people on the Conservative side, the older Conservative voters, who like the Empire and never wanted to see it go, and still have this idea that we should control what we do, in the sense of when we do a deal, the other countries will do what we say. But it isn't like that. In the real world, we are one of many, many countries. We are important and we're strong, partly because we have had 43 years now in the EU. And that's been part, not the whole story, but it's been very much part of the strength and the prosperity of our country. And it's something that we really shouldn't want to lose.
Yeah, and I think that's true, that when we joined, it was the future. It looked like it was going to be the wonderful thing. And for some years, it did. A small number of countries in it. It worked very well for us. But, you know, that has all changed. And we're now living in a global international world. And the EU is shrinking in terms of the world. In terms
no, it's
of,
not. No, it's not. The rest of the world is growing.
The rest of the world is growing, and we are being left behind. And I'm saying, and I feel that very strongly, that if we could forge our own relationship, make our own trading deals. We don't even need to be in the single market. Why do we need to be in the single market? America's not the single market, and Brazil's not the single market, New Zealand's not the single. They trade with the rest of the EU. So I think we have to get some just basic facts that life would not change on June the 24th if we were to vote to leave. Everything would stay the same.
Now, Stephen, one of the slight problems is that malinformation is being offered, and I accept it's being offered on both sides. The EU is a single market. It's a very large single market. We're on the inside. The United States is a large single market, not actually as free as the UK, but you don't need to have customs documents as you go across, as you do trade. You don't need to have a passport as you go across the whole of the US. And that, again, contributes to its prosperity. And it's something that we should be extremely careful about putting in any kind of jeopardy. And there are no guarantees in any of this, none at all. But some of the misinformation is extremely hurtful. For example, there are posters going out, and it's official stuff, going out saying Turkey is joining the EU, with an arrow of 75 million Turks heading straight to the UK. Now, Turkey is not joining the EU. Turkey can't join the EU until it changes a great many of its own internal laws. And in any case, it's a veto situation. It wouldn't just be us that veto Turkey. It would be Cyprus, who Turkey refuses to recognise. And in any case, it wouldn't be possible for them to come to the EU because we're not part of the Schengen Agreement. You know, by all means, say there's a lot too many immigrants and we'd like to stop them, if that's your opinion. But don't do it on the basis of some kind of Islamophobia that's coming in. I find that very unpleasant.
Well, I think if you want to get into the Turkey situation, the reality is that the European Union officially has said they want Turkey to join. Yes, you're right that they're not going to join instantly. But the reality is, once the European Union bureaucracy within it decides something, as they did with the rest of the Eastern European countries, it doesn't really matter whether in the end one country vetoes, because what happens, they have a machinery behind the scenes which will make it happen. And we know that, of course, all Turkish people will not come to the United Kingdom, but the reality is that it opens up the border and they will be able to come, as many as who want to come. And David Cameron himself wants Turkey to join.
Well, we have the United Kingdom, back from the days of Margaret Thatcher, has always urged enlargement because of the single market benefits its members and helps to make them more prosperous. And I strongly believe that it does.
Yeah.
Then the more countries you have in there, particularly if they are poorer countries, the better it is for all of us. And it means then that the eastern end of Europe, bearing in mind, of course, Turkey has always been a member of NATO, so they are defence partners, the better it is for
everyone. It was Penny Mordaunt from the Tory who claimed we couldn't stop Turkey. So did she over-egg it?
Well, she was wrong. Penny Mordaunt's wrong on all sorts of things. She and I used to cross swords on food banks, please.
She's a Conservative minister.
That doesn't make her right.
Here's Mervyn Hollywood. Morning, Mervyn.
Morning, Stephen, it appears to me that the people who are in support of Brexit are people who appear to be well-heeled. business people, people who are running large organizations, this and that and the other. What I don't understand, no one has ever said yet, the chances of us leaving Brexit, leaving the EU, that will be one hell of a gamble for the man and the woman on the street.
Do you want me to come in on that? Because I think actually it's the big businesses, the big corporations that want us to stay. Very, very smaller businesses don't. Because the thing is, if you're a little business in Northern Ireland and you're only trading people within Northern Ireland or the rest of the United Kingdom, as many businesses do, you have to sign up to every single little tiny bit of regulation that is needed if you're exporting to the EU. And that means that the cost to small businesses of staying in the EU are much higher, which is why small businesses are not as gung-ho about joining or staying in as being made out.
Okay, but what you're saying is everything is going to be fine when we leave.
Actually, we were saying at the beginning, certainly whatever happens, because you can't plan ahead. What my view is, the uncertainty of staying in what is a dysfunctional kind of organisation where it's actually having real problems about the Eurozone, and you saw what happened to the Greek people, that uncertainty is greater than the certainty of staying, of leaving and knowing that we then can decide who we want to trade with and on our terms.
Dan and Lisburn next. Morning, Dan.
Hello there. I'd like to say to Alina there, the spat that was between Duncan Smith and Dave Cameron and Osborne about Turkey joining the European Union. Cameron said that it was wrong to suggest that he couldn't prevent Turkey from acceding to the European Union. But only 5 weeks ago, there was a referendum in Holland, which was voting to stop further expansion of the European Union and the accession of Ukraine to the European Union.
That's correct.
The vote for that was 2-1. For against further expansion, and it was completely ignored by the European Union.
Dan, thank you. Paddy in Belfast. Morning, Paddy. I'm just trying to squeeze a couple more calls in because we're running out of time. Morning, Paddy.
How you doing? Edwina.
Yes,
Edwina,
sir.
Let's just say everybody goes along with what you're espousing. And what happens if it all goes belly up? What do you pay for misleading the country?
Well, can I respond, please, Stephen? I think if you start having conspiracy theories about...
No, it's not a conspiracy theory, Edwina. It's a fact.
Need a letter.
You're espousing.
Paddy... Paddy, just saying something's a fact doesn't make it a fact.
Okay.
You're asking me
no,
what...
No, I understand that.
All right. Be absolutely aware, we are not part of the Eurozone. We're not in the Euro, and it doesn't look as if we are ever likely to join the Euro.
No,
so
but that's not the
mentioning...
question. That won't change, Edwina. What's going to change is you're asking
I'm asking the country
to
stay
the
put.
Question is.
Okay, well, let her answer.
Asking...
Hold on a minute.
Paddy. Let her answer. Let her answer.
We are asking you to continue to remain members of the European Union, to continue to have substantial sums of money coming back from the EU into Northern Ireland, supporting the economy there. Of course it's our money, and it would continue to be an important priority. Well, heaven knows whether that would be the case under a future Labour government. Who knows? Okay. To continue to support farming. We're also asking you something else that's very special, which is to continue to be friends with our neighbours. If any place has had to learn the pain of not doing that, it's Northern Ireland. And we should be friends with our neighbours. We should be working with them and we should be trading with them.
Right, we're out of time. Thank you very much indeed. Kate Hoey, thank you. Edwina Curry, thank you.